lead us in prayer. Please, sir.
Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for the generosity of your people.
Amen.
Father, our heart's desire is that the world would come to know you.
Amen.
Lord and Savior of their lives.
Amen.
Father, our desire also is especially for our country tonight.
Yes.
Father, how it needs to turn to you.
Amen.
Father, what a blessing it's been today with the Christmas program.
Yes.
With the gifts tonight.
Yes.
Father, all that you've done for us. Father, we do not have the words to thank you.
Yes.
All we can say is thank you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So that will be divided up amongst our missionaries. So praise God. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Title of the message tonight, Gifts Galore. Gifts Galore. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word galore means abundance, plentiful. So gifts galore, abundant gifts, plentiful gifts. Have you ever had someone give you a gift and you open the box and inside was another wrapped box? And inside that may have been another wrapped box. So sometimes people like to have a little fun there. Well, that's just kind of a picture of what I'm talking about, except in that instance, each box doesn't per se have a gift in it. You're still trying to get to the gifts. So some of those boxes are really empty other than somewhere down inside there is the last box with the real gift. But what I'm talking about tonight is once that a person opens the gift of salvation, there are so many gifts galore, plentiful, abundant inside of that gift. What a precious thing. You know, I think so many times about Christmas and comparing it with Halloween. On Halloween, the night before Halloween is called Devil's Night. Well, that kind of lets you know what people are up to on the real holiday. If the night before they're calling Devil's Night. They used to have a lot of fires. Maybe they still do on Devil's Night. And then so on Halloween, people go around demanding, maybe asking, maybe demanding candy. I mean, they'll go from house to house asking for candy for themselves. But on Christmas, it's so different. People take time. They take their own money and they buy gifts for others. And it's just so precious to think about. On tomorrow, the one day of the year when almost the whole world stops at the birth of Christ, the celebration of the birth of Christ. I looked it up. Because I was curious, 163 countries of the world, Christmas is observed and is a public holiday. So 163 nations of the world, Christmas is a national holiday. That's pretty amazing. 163 nations of the world. And so I was looking up what happens with stores in France, stores closed. Germany, stores close. In London, stores close. And here, that's the one day of the year that Myers is closed. The one day of the year when the parking lot is empty, unless somebody's car is broken down or they just happen to park there. It's a sight to behold, just how the world, 163 nations, but that's not all. And then in another 21 countries, Christmas is not a national public holiday, but it's still observed. The holiday is still observed. It said in that that I looked up, only 13 nations of the world is Christmas neither a national holiday or neither observed. So the bottom line is in 184 nations of the world, Christmas is either a national holiday or it is observed. Only in 13 nations do they totally ignore it. But I would say in those 13 nations where it's maybe ignored by the government, there will be Christians there, and who in private are celebrating the day. They just won't be able to broadcast it. So for those people who claim to be atheists and claim not to believe that there was ever a person on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, I would say the evidence is heavily weighed against them. What other person in history, their birthday, does the world stop? Almost the whole world stops at the birthday of Jesus. Now, that would be rather strange for almost the whole world to celebrate the birth of a person who didn't exist. No, that's not him. You think about all the important people in history. Caesar, Pharaoh, Alexander the Great, Napoleon. We wouldn't call Hitler great, but well known. Did even all of Germany stop for Hitler's birthday? I don't know. I've never heard that they did. But you name, and what other religion is there of the world whose leader, whose founder of that religion has caused the world to stop on the date of their birth and observe it? There is none. There is none. So, but there is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. It's amazing how the world, almost the whole world, stops at his birth. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came what? Wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to what? Worship him. Oh, we still need wise men today, don't we? We still need wise women and boys and girls to seek the Lord. That is truly being wise. God commands all people to seek him. Notice in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. God commands all people to seek him. Well, how do they know who to seek? Remember what Moses said, Lord, who shall I say sent me? Well, God told him, you tell him, I am sent you. You tell him the one who exists sent you. In Isaiah 55, 6, the Bible says what there in that verse? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. How do people know who to seek? Well, I'd say we've talked about one big clue already. The person who came to this earth claiming to have come down from heaven. And at the same time in John 3:13, saying he was still in heaven. That sounds like God. And it was prophesied of him that he would be called also Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Boy, there's some really strong clues there who we ought to seek. And this one to whom the world, almost the whole world, stops at his birth. Will any of our birthdays ever be remembered? Especially after we're gone. Well, maybe the immediate family will. for a time. But just imagine if at our birth, our birth date, that the world would think of Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be so wonderful. So strong clues who to seek. The one to whom the world stops at his birth. Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And verse 40. Thinking about who do I seek? Well, how about the one that can heal every sickness? In Luke 4:40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on what? Every one of them. And what? Healed them. How about coming to the one that there's no sickness too hard for him to handle? Notice in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Who do we seek? How about the one that it was said of him that he does all things well? In Mark 7:37. And we're beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done what? All things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Well, I would say there's some really clear clues. If someone's really seeking God, there's some really clear clues. Who that might be? The Lord Jesus Christ. And when I think about his birth and tomorrow, just like, what's really hard is if you're traveling on Christmas. It's tough. If you need gas, there are some gas stations open, and there's a lot of them closed. And of course, you can get food ahead, the day ahead, you can get types of food that, even you don't even have to heat up. But if you're on the road and you're not prepared, Christmas would be a tough day to travel. But thinking about it, as I think about on tomorrow, the world, as it were, stops at his birth. And it makes me think, if someone is really seeking God, I should point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, one day the world is going to stop, isn't it? Every knee is going to bow to him. Everyone is going to stop their jobs. Everyone is going to stop their travels. Everyone is going to stop all their plans. Everything's going to stop and stand before him. So tomorrow is just a picture of what's coming. Everything is going to stop for him. Notice in Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And for those who will not stop now and take the time to seek him and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. For those who are just too busy to stop and bow the knee to him now, well, they're going to stand before him one day in judgment. In Revelation 20, verse 12, the Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, what? Stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I think the clues are really right there. They're clear for people to seek God, and it's really clear. What other religious leader, religious founder of all these religions, the world doesn't stop for them. Who knows when their birthdays even were? Who knows even the dates of their death? But we do the Lord Jesus' birth. I mean, this is the date we celebrate is his birth, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what about the gifts? Let's go to John 14. When we open the gift of salvation, when we repent of our sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, what gifts are inside of that? We've already seen the gift of eternal life is inside of that package. In John 14, 16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be what? In you." When we open that gift of salvation, we get the gift of eternal life. We also get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he talks about, verse 17, he's the Spirit of truth. If that one aspect really stands out to me right now, because you know what? When you read the news today, it's pretty tough to know what the truth is out there. So many lies, so much propaganda is out there. So the gift of salvation, knowing the truth. Notice with me in Psalm chapter 19. Psalm 19. How precious it is that we have a book in our hands, the Bible, that we can have confidence in. And verse 7, Psalm 19, 7. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is what? Sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are what? Right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is what? Pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is what? Clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are what? True and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Oh, the wonderful thing when we open the gift of salvation, we find inside of that gift, the Holy Spirit is another gift to us. The Word of God is another gift to us. The truth from it, not only the Holy Spirit giving testimony of that, but notice in John 14:6, we think of when we come to the Lord himself, he is described as truth. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the what?
Truth.
The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The world follows lies. The world follows evolution. What a foolish lie. Notice with me in Genesis 1. Genesis 1, 1. The world believes that everything was created by random chance. How foolish. Like, you know, we don't really appreciate how fearfully and wonderfully we are made until things with these bodies start to wear out or something goes wrong. And then we understand there are so many different systems in our body that depend upon one another. It's just amazing. You know, when something goes wrong and they check our blood and they say, well, you're low on this or on that, or this is too high, that we just begin the tip of the iceberg to realize just how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. How could the body have randomly mutated to what it is when all the systems depend upon one another? It would be impossible evolution. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, who? God created the heaven and the earth. Notice with me in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. evolution is so far-fetched. It just, it amazes me that physicians can believe in evolution. I mean, it's just so far-fetched. They learn so much about the body, so complex. In John 1:3, the Bible says what? All things were made by Him, God. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So the lie of evolution, the present lie of global warming, it is so foolish. Notice with me in Genesis 8:22, and yet people believe that lie. Genesis 8:22. They are so fearful of global warming. They're afraid that the polar ice caps are going to melt and that the world is going to flood and everybody's going to die. Genesis 8:22, God said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall what?
Not cease.
Well, so the older we get, maybe we're not quite so excited about winter time, but God says it's not going to cease. No, the whole world is not going to get warm enough to melt everything. The whole world is not going to flood again. God gave us that promise here. So, but so many people. Well, let's go to 1 Timothy 6. They haven't opened the gift of salvation, so they believe the lies. The lies, they believe them. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. The Bible says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of what?
Science.
And then what does it say of it? Falsely so-called. So oppositions of science, falsely so-called. That's what global warming is. That's what evolution is. It is oppositions of science, falsely so-called. In other words, it's false science. Science means knowledge. Evolution is not based on knowledge. It's based on theory, an atheistic theory. Global warming is not based on knowledge. It's based on really faulty, on-purpose numbers. There's an agenda behind it. It's not true. It's false science. But you can see that all this is happening because it's preparing the world to believe the lie of all lies. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. The world is being prepped. When you go in for surgery, they prep you. They give you certain medications, certain things to get you numb and for whatever surgery you're having. Well, the world right now is being prepped for the Antichrist to come on the scene. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Even him whose coming is after the working of who? Satan. With all power and signs and what? Lying wonders. It reminds you of John 8:44, doesn't it? The devil is a liar and the father of it. Well, he's coming again with lies, and he's prepping the world to believe him with the lies that are being spread. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of what? The truth. We just read that Jesus is the truth. We just read that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. These are all gifts we get in salvation. They receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe what?
A lie.
That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's why God calls all people to repentance. John 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, men love darkness because their deeds were evil. So the gift of salvation, the wonderful gifts inside of that gift. Notice in John 14, another gift that comes inside of the gift of salvation. In John 14:27, Jesus said what? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, the gift of peace. When we open the gift of salvation, inside of that is another gift. Peace. This world doesn't have any peace. It's nothing but turmoil and stress everywhere you go. But we have that in Christ. Notice in John 16, verse 24, another gift inside of that gift. John 16, in verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive that your what? Joy may be what? Full. This world doesn't have fullness of joy. This world has fullness of stress and trial and trouble and anguish. I was just talking this morning after the service about how did it happen to be that on New Year's Eve, so many people drink and get drunk? How? Why did that start? Why would you end an old year and start a new year drunk? That doesn't produce joy. Produces a hangover and all kinds of other trials. But we have joy. Inside of the gift of salvation is joy, peace, something else. And back in John 14, verse 1. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I've shared with you how since Thanksgiving time, I've just been enjoying it in my prayer time. Make a prayer request and then thank God for something. Give another prayer request and then thank God for something. When I come to the Lord in my prayer list, when I come to His return, praying for His return, and then thinking about something to thank Him for. And so many times I find myself thanking Him for His promise to come back. And I think about it. Would you be excited to come back to this place? Are there any places right now that you wouldn't be excited about going to? We had a relative that was telling us that this relative has a... Well, actually, this relative has been hired by a company in California. But this relative has the option to actually work from home in Michigan. But this relative is actually considering moving to California, possibly. And I'm thinking, wow. I've read about all the crime that's rampant in California, and I'm thinking, I don't think I would even consider that option at all. But think about the Lord, and I've just been just thanking Him, just, Lord, thank you. You promised you would come back. Thank you that you promised that you would come and receive us to yourself. Is the Lord really anxious to come back for us? I mean, we seem so little and insignificant. Isn't that amazing that He would want to come back for us? I mean, that's amazing to me. Amazing thought. I've just I've just been amazed at that as I pray. Notice in Psalm 16, another gift inside of the gift of salvation. Psalm 16 in verse 11. Psalm 16, 11. There is a preacher that just went home to be with the Lord, Clarence Sexton. And when we lived in Chattanooga, he also lived there and was in the same church ministering. He was one of the pastors down there. And he was a fireball preacher. But in the last years, I've seen some of their church services just kind of wandering around in sermon audio sometimes. And I'd seen him. It's hard to describe the platform. If you've seen their church services, you know. But it's like there's not very far from the pulpit to a rail. And I've seen him at times actually leave the pulpit and kind of hobble over to the rail and kind of hang on it. And I wondered, you know, what he had faced. But anyway, he passed away. And so in my reading, my listening, it had kind of excerpts of some of his messages. But he had a steel rod in his back, at least one, a steel plate in his neck, and his right leg or right foot that really he had little or no control over it. And his right leg, nerve problems in it. And so now I know why he was hobbling there. But one day, notice in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." There's the joy again. "At thy right hand there are" what? "Pleasures forevermore." Someone was just explaining to us, trying to think where it was. They were having some physical problems, and the doctor went in and cut those two nerves. It was someone who was having hand problems. And I don't know if they'd had the carpal tunnel, but still extreme pain. And the doctor went in and cut two nerves. And so now there's no register of the pain anyway now. But one day there will be pleasures forevermore. What a gift from God. Notice in Revelation 21 and verse 21. Revelation 21:21. "And the 12 gates were" what? 12 pearls. "Every several gate was" of what? One pearl. How would you like that one, ladies? How would you like to carry that one around? A pearl the size of a gate. Wow. You'd probably have to pull that on a wagon behind you. "And the street of the city was" what? "Pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Well, we think it something that if you have a gold ring, and those aren't cheap. Can you imagine walking on streets of gold? You ladies may have a gold necklace. Maybe you have a gold watch. But everything is relatively small that we have that's gold. In heaven, there's going to be no scarcity of gold. We're going to walk on it. The road is going to be paved with it, with pure gold. So just think about, we open the gift of salvation and inside are so many gifts. We could go on and on and on. Crowns of gold. Just treasure after treasure in heaven. What a blessing. But to reject opening the gift of salvation, what does it mean for those people? Well, look in Luke 16. Here's a man who did not open that gift. And what did it have for him? Now, he had the gold in his life. He had the riches in his life. But what happened to him when he died? In Luke 16:22, "It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. And what? In hell. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, when we open the gift of salvation, we have gift after gift, treasure after treasure. But when people refuse to open that gift, when they choose rather to live for the things of this world, when they die, they don't have gifts galore. They have torments galore. Abundant torments is what they have. Boy, the choice should be pretty clear, shouldn't it? That the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring about us. The Lord, the more I ponder it, this sinful world, we are a people so prone to sin, a people so prone to be selfish, and yet you're coming back for us. It's hard for us to comprehend, Lord, your love. I pray if there should be any here tonight that have never opened that gift of salvation, that they would open it at this very moment, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them of all their sin, telling the Lord Jesus Christ that it is their desire to love you and to live for you, to serve you. Have your way now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.